This is music from Forest Orn, Chico, Hamilton. Welcome to The Checkout from WBGO. I'm Josh Jackson. Euphoric rhythm, sartorial splendor, one of the coolest cats in jazz. Chico Hamilton delivered it day in, day out for more than seven decades. We remember Chico with one of his final interviews. Take a journey into outer space with Now versus Now. It's Earth Analog, featuring Jason Lindner, Panayotis Andreou, and Mark Giuliano. And first, Tim Horner. He dreamed of becoming a bus driver before turning to a drum kit. Tim Horner brings his quintet to our performance studio with WBGO's Gary Walker. That's coming up next. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for checking in.
What a pleasure it is to welcome drummer Tim Horner. And we're here to talk about the collective that you put together.
Yes.
Passion Dancer. What was the inspiration for that piece?
The inspiration for that was actually Vic Juris, in that I was playing a lot with Vic and starting to check out what he was doing with harmonies. So I kind of gave myself a lesson to go home and mess around with some of the things I was, you know, looking at on his music. And that's how that piece came to be.
Thank you.
Passion Dancer. Tim Horner, the leader, Vic Juris on guitar, Martin Wind on the bass, Jim Riddle at the piano, Mark Momus on saxophones. And when you were in that church choir as a kid, 8, 9 years old, then you picked up your first instrument, not the drums, but string instrument, right?
Yeah, I was playing violin in the school program. So my father was the choir director and my mom was the organist. So my dad would say, well, just, you know, bring your violin and play in the choir. And I had a fairly good ear for hearing harmony, and I wasn't reading music, so he would always just say, you play, fill it in, whatever you want. So if I was singing or playing, I got to just go for harmony parts.
What caused the switch?
Well, actually, I kind of played the violin and drums around the same time. My dad was a drummer, so there were always drums in the house. At first, I would go down and sit at the drum stool and close the hi-hats tight and pretend I was a bus driver, because that's what I wanted to do when I was little. I wanted to just be a bus driver, and I made a little gizmo with a change thing so I could pretend that I was accepting money and talk to people if they would come on. And then I decided, well, why don't I just play these? So then I started banging on them, and he always had some interesting records around. He listened to a lot of Brubeck. He loved Joe Morello, and he loved Sonny Greer. He loved Woody Herman's band. He had a lot of big bands, so I listened to all these styles of swing drummers, and that's really kind of what inspired me to want to play.
As you talk about starting out on the violin and switching to the drums, you know, that's the same thing Kenny Washington did.
Yes.
But growing up on Staten Island, he did it because every day coming home in the seventh grade, he'd get beat up because he was the kid with the violin.
Yeah, what?
And so he switched to the drums, and he started walking home with sticks in his hands. and nobody messed with him. Yeah, and he became a great drummer.
I had a similar problem with, you know, when you're a little kid carrying a violin, you're a boy. The big kids always pick on you, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah. There were some comments and some pushing and shoving from time to time, but I kept playing. I think I became a crossing guard at one point, you know, for the patrols at the end of the day, so people stopped messing with me.
We're going to listen to you guys perform a piece now. I Wish I Knew You.
I Wish I Knew You, the Tim Horner Quintet, recorded by Jeremy Sterone in WBGO's Performance Studio. This music can also be found on Horner's recording, The Head of the Circle, from Origin. Coming up next, a trip to outer space with Now Versus Now. It's Earth Analog with WBGO's Tim Wilkins. You're listening to The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson.
I'm Tim Wilkins for The Checkout, and joining us is Now Versus Now to talk about their album, Earth Analog. Joining us in the studio, Jason Lindner and Panayotis Andreou. Mark Giuliano will be joining us by phone a little later. Thanks, guys, for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
And Mark will be joining us.
From the road.
Yes. Jason Lindner. Earth Analog. Where did that concept come from?
Earth Analog. I love the topic of distant planets, which could sustain life. I think it's interesting to imagine those things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to think we're alone here on this planet. You know, this planet is so small and insignificant compared to the size of what's around us. We're just a little drop in the ocean. And planets which are biologically similar to Earth are called Earth analogs. So that's one of the meanings of the title. And another meaning of the title is it's an analog record. It's mixed in an analog board. I'm using analog keyboards. It's so... yeah, analog.
There is one alien on this record. Panayotis is the alien who makes the one vocal appearance on the album on the first track, Ancient Alien.
I've been in India, spent a couple of winters there, and I was fascinated by the art of Konakol, which is a rhythmic system that's very old. It's a very deep system. I'll tell you why. Because kids that are exposed to that system, they just have an access to making music in a very, very different way. Melodic rhythm.
Can you give us a little taste of Konakol right now?
Yeah, sure. So I'm just going to tell you all the numbers from 1 to 10. How about that? Ta, ta, ka, ta, ke, ta, ta, ka, de, me, ta, ka, ta, ke, ta, ta, ke, ta, ta, ke, ta, ta, ka, de, me, ta, ke, ta, ta, ka, de, me, ta, ka, jun, ta, ka, de, me, ta, ka, ta, ke, ta, ke, ta, ka, ta, re, ke, ta, ta, ka, dum.
When we hear your voice on this track, it's otherworldly and it's slightly processed, slightly altered, which suggests to me that perhaps it was part of the collaboration between your live performance in the studio and then Jason, how you took that and transformed it somehow.
Pana had already harmonized himself on the Konakol. You hear three voices. So that's all him just doing takes one after another, layering them for the rhythmical harmony.
The harmonical.
And then I had this idea of creating this background of sort of spacey, weirded out synths to give it a contrast to the beginning of the song.
So when you get into the studio and start to play with these sounds, you're looking to transform it, but also in a way which is also something you could play live.
Yeah, it was important to discipline ourselves not to do too many things in post-production that we couldn't pull off as a band. That was pretty important to us. We experimented and we came up with what you hear on the album. I found the title Ancient Alien because it's based on an ancient rhythm, basically. What's the rhythm in 9 that it's based in?
It's a 9/8, the subdivision.
But the
Right, right. It's a... That's yeah, it's 2-2-2-3, but the accents would be on the 1 and the 3 and the 5. Jason's accenting almost all of them, which gives it it's like this. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's... That's it.
Future Favela is one song that it was inspired by a birimbau, dum 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 dum, but with a little hiccup in the middle, you know?
Okay.
It's in a rhythm that haunted me for about a month, and I finally figured out how to sort of make it into a composition.
What is that?
It's in 17, and I didn't even realize what meter it was in for a while. I don't think I wanted to know. I didn't want to complicate things, you know?
About Veneno.
I went to a show at Drome, this great world music club in New York City. In their Gypsy Festival, they had this band from southern Italy that played a specific style of tarantella called pizzica from the Salento region of Puglia in southern Italy. I was totally blown away by this band that keeps alive the tradition of pizzica from that region. They just totally blew me away with these trance-like rhythms that were very African in nature. And I was so blown away, I went home and started to write that composition. And actually, the tambourine you're hearing is a sample from one of the albums of that particular band, Canzoniere Grecanico Salentino.
Veneno by Now Versus Now from their recording Earth Analog. I'm Tim Wilkins for The Checkout. Jason Lindner, while the premise here is otherworldly, in fact, you're going as deep as possible into this world and really taking the listeners back through time and through a musical journey. Describe that journey a little bit to me.
Well, the journey hasn't ended and probably won't end until my journey on the earth ends. You know, I've been into researching music from around the world for years now, and it all started with jazz because I wanted to give myself as much knowledge as possible, and I started to research the roots of jazz. I just had this urge to go deeper into that, you know? It's a little bit ethnomusicologistic.
Jazz is your starting point because you're from here. That's it. That's your native music. That's the music of New York.
Jason, tell me a little more about growing up musically in New York.
Yeah, when I was in high school, LaGuardia High School of Music and Art, hip-hop was transitioning from an underground music to a very popular music. There would be people rapping and beatboxing and stuff, like hanging out, and that was very prevalent in our school. So was gospel music. There was a gospel choir. There was a lot of stuff going on. If I had gone to more of a provincial school in New York, like where I'm from in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, I don't know if I would have been as exposed to hip-hop per se. But yeah, it was a big influence. I was trying to break dance. I was definitely into hip-hop culture. Before that, I was also into metal, like Panayotis, in my rebellious 9 and 10-year-old stages, you know, when I played electric guitar and stuff. I was into rock. That took me into blues. I was a big B.B. King fan. Then when I heard jazz, I was like, hey, wait, you know, I can kind of express the pain and all that stuff, rebelliousness, and improvise, and pull some stuff from my classical studies on the piano, too, all at the same time. So it kind of really fit.
Panayotis Andreou, you grew up in Athens, is that right?
Yes.
And what was your first introduction to music?
I think the radio in the house and my parents singing, they're not musicians, but it's all the popular music of that golden era for us and for many other countries, actually, of the 60s, 50s, and the 60s, and Rebetiko, which is like a very typical, like the Greek blues kind of style of music. So yeah, that was probably the first. I played baroque flute, you know, recorder for alto and bass for like 10 years. And I went to musical high school and I was exposed to Byzantine hymnology, which is like medieval Eastern Christian music. And then I just wanted to play heavy metal and I started playing bass.
Okay, so we've got Jason, a breakdancer from Brooklyn, and Pana, a heavy metal bassist from Athens. Mark Giuliana, who's joining us on the phone now from Paris, how did you fit into this mix?
I was a fan of Jason's. Long before I met him, I used to go hear his big band at Smalls all the time. Probably 19 when I first heard him. And then the first time we played, I was 22 with bassist Avishai Cohen. After we played with Avishai, we kept in touch and formed a strong bond, both musically and, you know, friendship-wise. We share similar influences. Our tastes were very similar, and we were realizing that we wanted to head in similar directions. And I think, you know, as Now Versus Now really became a unit and became a band, it was clear that now we had a template to explore together.
And what was that template for exploration?
Some of the clear directions would be a more electronic influence and, you know, a heavy rhythmic development. Since we've been playing together a lot, I think we've definitely explored those avenues together. The trio of Jason, Pana, and I, it's difficult to describe that sound. I think we have a camaraderie that is very natural and present every time we play. A very strong rhythmic conversation, I should say, between the three of us. And the combination of having discipline to serve the song and support the music, but also the freedom to explore at any moment, and mostly due to Jason's contribution with his sonic palette, it's become a more electronic sound, slightly more progressive sound.
You guys are drawing from a very deep bag. You've got a lot of experience, you're interested in a lot of musical traditions, and you've got a lot at your disposal, but you still put it all together in a way that reaches the ear.
All three of us in Now Versus Now, we always think about playing for our audience, you know, more than for ourselves, or at least equally.
Thank you so much, guys.
Great to be here.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Intelligentlemen by Now Versus Now, Jason Lindner, Panayotis Andreou, and Mark Juliana from the recording Earth Analog. They were interviewed by Tim Wilkins. Coming up next, we remember one of the coolest cats ever to get behind a drum kit, Chico Hamilton. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson.
Thank you for joining us on The Checkout, Chico Hamilton. And thank you for inviting me to your pad.
Great. It'll cost you a quarter.
Okay. It's been a fairly euphoric career, hasn't it? My goodness.
My career?
Yes, sir.
That's sort of a hard word to me. I don't look at it as having a career. It's what I do. It's what I've always done. I've done two things in my life. One was shine shoes, and the other is make music. So I've been blessed, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think you made a good switch from shining shoes to playing music.
You think so?
Yeah. Were you shining shoes in L.A.?
Yeah. I saw shining shoes when I was about 6 or 7 years old. Well, all us kids did. We did. Yeah, all the kids out there in L.A. That's the only way we can make some dough. And it was Nicholas Shine, man.
Was that good bread at the time?
Oh, man, I'd stay out. I'd go out on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And I'd stay out on Saturdays till I made a dollar. Me and my best friend. And I eventually bought my first set of drums. As a matter of fact, I bought this drum. And I still have it.
Tell me about this drum, this snare.
That snare cost about $12. I took that snare drum with me all through the war. As soon as I got in the Army, they put me in the drum and bugle corps, right? They made me play, made me play a bugle. Made me play a bugle, man. It's unbelievable.
Who were you listening to play the drums as a child? Were you listening to Lee Young? And these are like your...
No.
No?
I studied with Lee, but my first impression was Sonny Greer.
Ah.
And from Sonny, I went to... When I heard Basie, Joe Jones.
Yeah.
That was it.
Papa Joe, that's it. That's all you need.
That was it. And as a matter of fact, man, we became very close. Very good friends. But we never talked about drumming. But I got a lesson from him about life. I met Joe when I was 16 years old. Lee Young introduced me to him. And the first thing he said to me was, stay in school. He was something else, man. Beautiful human being. We talked every day, you know. He kept me cool. like all young players, man, I went through all the dope scenes and all that. But what I try to stress with young players is that the worst thing you can possibly do is get yourself involved with the dope action. It'll kill you. Graduate when I was 16 years old, but I got an offer to play with Lionel Hampton, and my mother said she let me go. I was getting ready to graduate. I came back to school when I was 19 years old, and my wife had we had a class in biology, and she taught me, helping me with my homework. I met my wife when she was 13 years old. We used to rehearse at her house because her brother played trombone. That's with Dexter, Mingus, myself, Buddy Collette, Jack Kelso. And this was our orchestra school band.
Paint a picture for me of the Central Avenue scene.
Central Avenue really consisted of maybe two or three blocks, that's all. And at the end, I think in Santa Barbara, was the street, Ivy Anderson had a chicken shack. That's where we used to jam all the time. It was happening.
So who else would come in? It was like Dexter and
everybody.
Wardell Gray and those guys.
You remember Wardell?
The Chase. How could you not remember The Chase?
By swinging. We had a group, Wardell, Hampton Hawes, Curtis Counts, and myself.
Wow.
We were accompanying Billy Holiday.
You get more bounce with Curtis Counts.
Yeah.
You guys accompanied Lady Day.
Yeah. When she was here, you know, the concert, Lady Sings the Blues?
Mm-hmm.
That's me on there.
She's got 'em bad. She feels so sad. Wants the world to know just what her blues is all about. Tells her sad, nothing to hide. Now the world will know just what her blues is all about.
They recorded that. And I'm the only one that got paid. He became a judge later, but Earl Zaden, who was a junkie lawyer, he got all the people. If you got busted someplace in California, Chicago, you couldn't play in New York.
The cabaret card.
They wouldn't give you a cabaret card. You know, you remember that?
Well, I don't remember it, but I've read about it.
Yeah. Anything else you want to know?
Oh, I'm sure there's something I'd love to know from you, Chico Hamilton. Tell me about the formation of your classic group that started in on the West Coast with Jim Hall and Fred Katz and Buddy Collette and at one point Eric Dolphy. I mean, this was the scene. This was your scene. And I just want to get an understanding of what that scene was like.
Well, I think we just happened to be five guys in the right place at the right time. Actually, we formed a group in self-defense.
What do you mean in self-defense?
Well, at that time, everybody was playing out of tune, screaming and everything, doing exercise as opposed to making music. And we just decided that we wanted to make music. It's just that simple.
What does that mean to you, making music?
I think you have to be blessed to make music. Anybody can play it. And there's a very thin line, like I said, between noise and music. What might be music to you might be noise to me, etc., etc. Or vice versa. Make sense?
It does. Were you attracted to the dance part of music? You're pointing at me.
Because I've always maintained dance when you play. Dancing is the freest thing, freest form that anyone can take, far as arts are concerned.
In terms of the liberation of physically, emotionally, spiritually?
Yeah, because no one knows which came first, rhythm or movement.
Rhythm or movement? I've never thought about that.
A lot of people haven't.
I suspect you have thought about that.
Rhythm and movement.
What came first in your opinion?
I think movement did. You know, because there's nothing on record to say when movement started. But you go back in the history, there's only been two things done, from Africans to, from that to, everything's a derivative of those two licks.
So the rhythm was mimicking the human body and its movement.
That's right. Years ago, people danced on their heels. Then when they started tap dancing, that brought about the brushes and things. Ba 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 da 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 da.
You've basically just described what Joe Jones did, what Papa Joe Jones did. I mean, he played to the tap dancers.
Yeah.
With them.
That's what started off, you know.
What is your greatest accomplishment?
Marrying my wife.
How long were you married?
Oh, we married a hell of a long time, man. My daughter's 65 or something like that. We've been married a long time. My only girlfriend.
You said you met her when she was 13.
Yeah. We used to rehearse at her house. When I came back from joined Line of Hampton's band, and after 3 weeks, they fired me because I couldn't read music.
Hmm.
I could play my ass off, but I couldn't read. I didn't learn how to read drum music until I went into the service. The drummer with Claude Thornhill's band, it was in the white camp, and I was in the black camp. We some kind of way we hooked up out in the middle of a red clay fields. He taught me how to read drum music. To this day, man, I study every day. I study my craft.
What's the last thing you studied, Chico Hamilton?
On phrasing.
Phrasing.
Which is very hip.
People don't realize how important the length of a note is, even.
How come you know about that?
I have a severe listening habit.
Okay. That is very important. The value of a note. Note value. That's the bottom line to it, really.
Really?
You know what a whole note sounds like? You know what a quarter note sounds like? You know what an eighth note sounds like?
Still looking at this picture of this young man with that big smile and the pinstripes.
Oh, and I was sharp, man. Always,
I can see, man.
Always dressed.
And the handkerchief and the snare under the left arm, the sticks in the right hand.
Yeah.
A lot of promise. A lot of potential in that photograph, I think.
I started buying my own clothes when I was around 8 or 9 years old. We were very poor.
But you were making bread on the shoeshine circuit.
Right. And there was 5 boys and 1 girl. And my sister used to get all of them. They used all the money dressing her up.
Left you guys on your own.
Yeah. See this guy here? That's Mike Warmer. That's the guy that brought me here. That's the guy who got this apartment for me. Gray Advertising.
So advertising brought you to New York?
This guy right here. I was living in London at that time.
Hanging out with the mods, were you?
You know where you used to hang out with? The Beatles.
Oh, those guys.
Those guys before they got famous.
And what did you and the Beatles used to do when you were hanging out?
Jam. There were some good dudes, man.
Did you like moving to New York?
What happened was, they were using a piece of my music in the morning. The morning after. Right? They were using it for a theme for something. And Mike Warmer heard it. He liked it. And he wanted me to do a commercial for him. And I had no idea what a commercial was. So he called me, got in touch with me in England, sent me a ticket. I came to New York. He got this pad for me. I ended up writing in the commercial. That's when cigarettes was on the air. Spring cigarettes. Spring is blah, blah, blah. I wrote it, I recorded it, and I produced it. And I think my first royalty check, man, was maybe like $2,500. I never seen.
That's what I'm saying. That's not like playing the clubs, man.
I never seen that kind of
money. No, that's real. That's real money.
That started it, and I won it for about 10 years. I did it till I got tired of it. I got to the point where it destroys your craft.
The artistry.
Yeah. I start, you know, you reach a point where you're just doing it for the money. Doing it for the money, I'll give up a note. Don't matter. But when you're involved with it, as far as your art is concerned, I don't know.
Chico Hamilton, what's something that you wish you had done that you haven't done yet?
I do everything I feel like doing.
Cheers to that.
You know? A lot of guys shine shoes and went further down.
Oh, sure. But you wanted more.
I've always been a hustler. Not a pimp, but a hustler.
What's the difference?
What's the difference between a pimp and a hustler?
Yes, sir.
As a pimp, you got other people doing your dirty work. Hustler, you do it yourself. You dig?
I dig.
Farewell to Chico Hamilton. He died November 25th, 2013. He was 92. This interview took place in Chico Hamilton's apartment on the east side of New York. Back then, he was only 90. Check out all of our programs online at checkoutjazz.org. Subscribe to the podcast. Download us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at checkoutjazz. The producer is Simon Rentner. Follow him at Simon Rentner. And thanks to our intern, Joyce Kwan. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for listening.